So, Mundelein was in the red. That was your first introduction to...
That's right. And she said, you are there to get it out of the red. And I said to her, well, Mother, I don't know Chicago. I don't know it. I said, I don't know how I can get downtown, but I said, that's as far as I know. I don't know the people in Chicago. And I said, how? I said, how do you expect me to get that? Well, anyway, we talked for quite a while, and then I introduced what I thought was a very important item. And I said, Mother, had you ever considered of having a president and a superior? I said, they really should be divided, because I said, the superior's job is one thing. I said, that's community life, religious life. But I said, the president is an entirely different type of position. Mm-hmm. And, well, she hadn't thought of that, she said. And I said, well, Mother, I'll let you know right now, if you want me to stay, I said, I will work with anybody that you assign, and you can assign them as the president or as a superior, and I'll take the other job, and I'll do the best I can. Well, she said, I'll talk about it. And then she said, well, by the way, there's a sister here, maybe I could ask her. And then she told me her name. I said, well, I only know her by name. I said, I met her only once, but I said, if she is the one that I said, I'll work with her. And, well, she told me the next day that this sister wouldn't do it. And I said to her, I said, well, Mother, did you offer her the two jobs? And Mother laughed. She said, no, I didn't. Well, anyway, when Sister Mary Ann Ida went in office, I told her this was something that I think should be done, because said the two jobs are really not... They shouldn't be together. And I said, to me, the only problem would be in the use of money. I said, the superior should know that the president has the right to use the money that comes in for the college. And she said, oh, and that was all.
And so Sister Mary Ann Ida did get...
Yes, she did get.
She did get.
Because she realized, I said, you're going to realize that, and I told Mother at the time, I said, you'll notice that in all, like the Jesuit colleges, they have a rector and a president. And I said, DePaul has the same thing. I said, all of them have it. And I said, the president's job is quite different from a superior. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, that was one thing that I had hoped that I could accomplish, but I didn't. But at least I planted the seed.
Planted the seed for you. So Sister Mary Ann Ida inherited some of your good ideas.
Yes. Well, we didn't do, we had different kind of benefits along the way, but then the Associated Colleges of Illinois, the smaller colleges grouped together. However, the three universities were there, Chicago, Loyola, and DePaul, belonged to it because they were private institutions. But they, at one meeting, they decided that they would have another section of the organization just primarily to get money, and they were, presidents would have to go out and try to get the money from different organizations and different factories, whatever you call them. So they said that they had talked about it, the officers had talked about it, and they said that if you wanted to belong to this other group, you would pay down $1,000. And that would be the fee that to begin the work, so they'd have money to start. And they went around to all the presidents, and I didn't know what I was going to do, because I knew I couldn't say I'd give $1,000 without permission. So one of the officers when he they asked him, he said, well, I will join, but he said, I will have to ask my board of trustees before I say yes. So I said, that was my out. I knew that I could answer. So I said, they came along and asked the different ones. Well, they came to Mother Burke and they asked her if she would join. She said, oh, yes. And I said, she bent over, took up her purse.
Who's Mother Burke?
Mother Burke from Barrett.
From Barrett.
And took out her checkbook and wrote the $1,000 check. Well, I couldn't do that. And when they came to me, I just said I would consult the Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Mother and the Council were the Board of Trustees. Well, I had a little difficulty in convincing people at Mount Carmel I should spend $1,000 for that proposition. And well, I had asked the treasurer down at Rensselaer, who had come to Munda quite often, and he said, join, sister, join. And I said, well, I'm having trouble. And he said, I know what you're going through. I had the same trouble. But he said, we finally agreed. So I said, I did call Mother again. It was the day before I had to give an answer. And Sister Mary Viatora took the call, and I asked her to please to ask Mother if she'd say yes or no so that I could go to the meeting. And I said, she said, she came back and to the telephone and said, well, Mother says she wished you say yes. And I said, as soon as she said yes, I said, oh, thank you, Sister. Mother said yes. So I said, that's my answer. And I said, I appreciate what you've done. And I said, I'm hanging up. So I did. So I went to the meeting the next day and said we would join. So we were fortunate. And I think we did get quite a bit of money from that source. And it continued under Mary Ann Ida. In fact, Mary Ann Ida was the one that told me it was a godsend. Mm-hmm. Then I said, we got a grant from the Ford Foundation.
The Ford Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yes, you gave me that information about the Ford Foundation grant, and I have that.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. I remember that it had come through shortly after I came to Mundelein.
Did it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I remember working for Sister Mary Maddalena was the publicity on that Ford Foundation grant. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were a number of colleges didn't respond, mm-hmm. and they were it was really unfortunate for them, because all you had to do was to give them a reason why you wanted any funds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My reason, as I mentioned before, is to raise the salary of the lay teachers, and I think that mm-hmm. had more of an impression than if I were to say it was for something else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, now would you tell me a little bit about the student body when you were president? What kind of a student body did you have?
Well, I think we had some, I think the girls were very, very lovely, but I think we had some very fine students. Mm-hmm. In fact, a great many of them probably never realized how bright they really were. Mm-hmm. And I think they liked Mundelein. Mm-hmm. And were very
Would Pat Ewers be one of you? Patricia O'Donnell, was she there?
No, I don't think so.
Would it be Marjorie Frisbee and Peggy
yes,
Roach?
Right, they were there. Mm-hmm. And oh, I can't think of her name now. But
Juanita Serafin, maybe?
No.
Mm-hmm. They're all run
yeah.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was, as I think I mentioned before, that I think they were a little bit more mature than the ones that were there in the year, the first year. And I put them mostly on their own. And mm-hmm. I thought after all they were mature.
Young, by that time, they were young women.
Yes, they were.
And, the first college enrolled girls.
Yeah, I think they liked me. I think they're very loyal to my darling.
They've been very loyal.
Yeah.
They've been very loyal.
Yeah.
So when did you hear about Mundelein being merged with Loyola?
I think Sister Mary Helen told me the first.
Helen Garvey.
And then Sister Mary Ann Ida was here visiting one time, and she came in and she told me, because she was out of office by that time.
Yes.
And she just told me that, you know, the conditions were such that, and gave me a little of the background. Mm-hmm. And then later on, Helen gave me a little bit more day by day or situation by mm-hmm. situation.
So you think in the long run it wasn't such a bad way to end?
No, I really don't. Much as I sometimes see that picture mm-hmm. of Sister Carolyn mm-hmm. and the president of Loyola and Sister Helen mm-hmm. signing Mundelein over to Loyola. Mm-hmm. That was
hard to look at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
After all the years that, you know, that we as BVM spent in Mundelein. Mm-hmm. But when you come right down to it, I think it was a marvelous situation that it came at that particular time when Loyola was able to take over. And I think that that president was magnanimous. That's my experience, my looking at it from the outside and not being a part of it, that he would undertake to take all the expenses, all the debts, you know, and not a question. I think he was a magnanimous person. I don't know him, and there are very few that would do it.
Don't forget he got $65 million worth of prime land and buildings.
I know that. But there was plenty of work, debt that he had to accept. Mm-hmm. But what would have happened if he hadn't, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be, I think it wouldn't be ours at all.
There was a school of thought that we could have kept Mundelein going on a smaller scale, maybe as adult education or something like that, but we didn't have a chance to discuss that or try it.
But Sister, mm-hmm. Where would you get the funds to carry on? Mm-hmm. Now that is what I have in mind, what happened, that there was such a large debt
yes,
that
mm-hmm.
couldn't be met.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Now,
and you had good experience with paying off debts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it would have been on the market, you know. Anyone could have taken it, and it was a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And as you say, look what it was worth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just physically, the building, the contents, the property, the ground, mm-hmm. what it was worth. And to let that get out of our hands. To someone that wouldn't appreciate it, but it went to a Catholic institution,
yes. mm-hmm.
and one that will appreciate it, I really think. However, I recall when we started out, the president of Loyola was very much incensed because we were going to be there and that the cardinal had chosen us to build a place.
Really?
That's what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, well, they were told that they had to supply certain faculty. It wasn't easy for them, but however, I think they were perfect gentlemen, because this is just an aside. Our first New Year's there, the president and the dean on New Year's Day, in the spirit of the old time procedures that used to happen, they visited Mundelein on New Year's Day to greet them. Mm-hmm. That was one of the, and it showed a certain, well, I
noblesse oblige.
Yes, mm-hmm. that they were willing, you know, mm-hmm. that we should be friends.
There's a letter in Sister Mary Justicia's file saying something to the effect, I always keep an eye on those wily Jesuits next door. So she had
her difficulties, I know, you know. And of course, at the time that they pulled out, one at the end of the first semester, now that was when Sister Mary Josephine was there, and you probably know that, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what happened, but anyway, they said they needed the priests, and we had priests teaching philosophy and also religion, mm-hmm. And they were all pulled out at the end of the first semester, and she had nobody to teach those courses the second semester. So the only thing she could do was go to the cardinal. And the cardinal said...
that be Cardinal Stritch?
No, Cardinal Mundelein.
Cardinal Mundelein?
No, Cardinal Stritch.
Cardinal Stritch.
Yeah. He said, now don't worry, sister, I'll get somebody. And he got a Dominican to teach. I know I was, and he went in, he was clean. Oh, we had a sister in every class of the people, like a lay teacher or a priest, and we were caddies. And,
what's a caddy?
Huh? We went in and took care of their enrollment and gave them their class cards and told them any of the announcements that they should know about what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so they pulled out, but the cardinal said he would get someone to teach the courses in philosophy. And it was at that time that they began to say that sisters were to teach the religion classes. Mm-hmm. And so we had quite a few, you know, well, we only had one Dominican priest come. And I know I sat in on his logic class.
Is that when we got Father Murphy and Father Clark?
Oh, no, Father, yes, it was. Mm-hmm. They were heads of the department. Mm-hmm. But Father Clark was first. Father Murphy came later, mm-hmm. and when he came, we all went in, each one went in, everyone that was teaching a religion class, yes. We were supposed to tell him what we did. Well, I took my lesson plans, you know, and I went in, I had them all written out, and I said, well, Father, do you want these? And he looked at them, and he talked to me for a while, and then I left, and he said, Sister, could I keep these for a while? And I said, oh, sure. I suppose I should, I better turn this off.
I don't think we, this was Father Clark?
Hmm?
This was Father?
No, Father Murphy.
Oh, Father Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, our echoes roll from soul to soul. Well, thank you, Sister.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is, and as I mentioned when I was changing the tape, you are a very patient woman.
Oh, go on.
Because I've been, made several mistakes in this taping, but we've got it all, and I think we've got a very good story.
Well, I don't think it's much. I mean, I wish I could remember some other things.
You remember all the big things.
Well, and I should tell you about Father Murphy.
Okay.
When he found out or heard that I was the president,
yes,
he said to Mary Maddalena, well, I probably better say goodbye to you now. I said, she won't keep me. And Mary Madeline said, what do you mean? And he said, she knows I'm no teacher. And then he told her, he said, you know, when she came in, the time they all came in to see me, she said, she brought in her lesson plans. I never seen a lesson plan before. And I answered you. So she knows too much about teaching. Madeline said, well, I don't think she'll do that, Father. But I used him. When she told me that, I thought, he's going to find out. So I used him the whole time. And every once in a while, I'd tell him. And one time, Sister Irma because she had the book, you know, what they did, the girls. And she had a
review.
Yeah, the review. One girl wrote a story. It was a true story in her life. And Mary Irma said, "Sister, I'd like you to read this." She said, I really think I should put it in, publish it. But she said, "I just think I better ask you." So I read it. Well, it was a situation in her home. I think it was her grandmother who was dying, and they sent for the priest, and he didn't come. He wouldn't come. He said, "I don't have time." And that had stuck with this girl. Mm-hmm. And then she told a few more things. And I read it, and then I called Father Murphy. I said, "Father Murphy, I'd like this on the quiet. But I said, would you read this story and tell me honestly what you think, and should it be published?" So he took it. He came back ready the next day. He said, "Publish it." And I said, "Well, Father, I want to be very sure." He said, "Sister, it happened." He said, "It does happen." He said, "It happened. If that girl is worried," and I said, "I think she is." So I published. I had Irma, I said to Irma, "Publish." Oh, she said, "I'm so glad, Sister." She said, "I think it mean the world to that girl." Mm-hmm. And Sister, did I get the response or the mail from pastors? I never told a soul that I never answered any one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that coming, you know, criticizing the priest. Well, they weren't. She wasn't. Well, she was criticizing him and said, but it was an honest criticism. Mm-hmm. And it was something that bothered her and her family. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was beautifully done. You know, it wasn't cantankerous or anything. But it was beautifully done and well written. And she should have her chance. Mm-hmm. But Father Murphy really said, he said, "Publish it, Sister," right away. Yeah.
So he was you didn't hide behind Father Murphy?
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So. But I wanted to be sure, you know, that, but I didn't answer these priests, these pastors. Mm-hmm. In fact, his own pastor wrote.
He may have heard the story.
Well, anyway. A lot of things that happened.
Well, those were great days.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Sister, for
letting
me put them on tape here.
I wish I could help you more.
What I have is wonderful.
Oh, well, I'm glad.